Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Ches. Okay, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Ches. So we left off at a climactic point where Daniel was thrown into the den of lions, and Daryavesh was deeply disturbed that his dear loyal friend and advisor Daniel was thrown into this den of lions, and he said to him, "May Hashem, who you pray to, this dira continuously at all times, may He come to your aid." So now pasuk yitches vehei soyis even chada. It was brought. It's in the passive form a. Even chada means a single stone. The sumas al pum guba, and it was put, it was placed, it was set on the opening of the guba of the den. The chasmo malka, and it was sealed. Can you imagine? It was a presidential seal that was affixed to the stone, like the inspectors put today. These are their seals. They put tape along in the don't enter this room. And the king had a special seal, the Chasma Malka Be'iz Kisei. Be'iz Kisei means signet ring. He sealed, it's not clear exactly how this was done, but there was some type of, the stone was put in this opening, and on the sides of the stone, there was some type of seal that was placed, and it was stamped with the signet ring of the king. The only one that had this ring was the king, obviously. So this clay, I assume it's some type of material, whether it's clay or other material, if it was broken, it would be obvious that someone had tampered with the closing of this den. The iskisei means the signet. The chasme was sealed malka the iskisei with his signet ring. The iskas rav rivo nohi, and also with more seals. It wasn't only the seal of there was a seal of the king. There was the seal of the government officials. All of the great elected officials, the great leaders of the government, also affixed their own personal seal to the stone that closed the den. Why was all of this done? Lo sishnet sevu bidoniel, so that no one should change their mind. Sevu means will. Sishne means to change. Bidoniel, Doniel, no one should change the verdict. Daniel was sentenced to death, was sentenced to be tortured by being thrown into the den. Can you pass this to Rabbi Shane here? Oh, Yaz Danavi? He was sentenced to be killed by the lions, to be eaten by the lions, and there was suspicion, the king, the people, the government officials suspected that the king would secretly come there in the middle of the night, hoping that the lions have not yet devoured Daniel and remove the stone, and take Daniel out of the den and save him. So the government officials affixed their own personal seal, their own seal which was sealed with a signet ring, to make sure that the king, who was known to be a dear friend and defendant, an advocate of Daniel, would not come secretly save Daniel. On the other hand, the king also suspected that the officials would murder Daniel. In other words, just because Daniel was thrown to the lions, maybe for some reason the lions were not hungry. The lions had a stomach virus that day, and they were just not in the mood of eating human flesh. So the king was suspicious that the government officials would check to see what's doing, and if the lions have not devoured him, they would tamper. They would devour him. They would enter, and they would murder Daniel in the den of lions. So each one, there was a balance of power. Each one was making sure that the others would not tamper. The people were afraid the king would save Daniel, and the king was afraid that the government officials would murder Daniel in case the lions have not done so. Therefore, each one affixed their private seal with their own signet ring to make sure that there was no tampering done with Daniel. So, lo sishnet sevu, that the will, what was meant to be for Daniel, should not be changed. It should be what it is, and no one should tamper. Now, there's a lot of, there's much discussion here. Let's maybe right away read the Rashi. Pasuk Yitches, the long Rashi. Pasuk Yitches. Vehesis even chada. V'huvos even achas, period. One stone was brought. Now the question is, where did they get the stone from? In Bavel, Modai, the capital of Modai, Daryavish is now the king of Modai, was capital was set up in Bavel. This was the region of Bavel. And B'chol Eretz Bavel, Rashi says, Ein Evan, this is a Medrash, there are no stones, based on the Pasuk, Ki Im Levenim, Kimash Amar, Hova Nilbino Levenim. It says in the beginning of Bereishis that there are no stones, in the Mishnah Parashas Noach, there are no stones in Bavel. We discussed this now. Chumashir. There are no stones in Bavel, and there was an advancement in technology where they were able to produce artificial stones through mud. Levanim, they took clay, they invented. That was a major invention of the time. This is a major technological advance of the time. They're right, but the Mishnah is 2,000 years later. We're talking over here the time of Noah. This was a chiddush. They were able to go and create stone, artificial stones from. So here we're in Babel. So Babel, there are no natural stones. There's only levanim. So what then does it mean here in this pasuk? They found a massive stone that was able to close up the entrance to this den. So Rashi says that it was a miracle. It was a malach that came. Behold, Eretz Yisrael ain even kiim levenim k'mash amar v'hava nilbuna levenim l'manush ain even b'bavel l'fi shah hevi'uha malachim may Eretz Yisrael. Malachim was a miracle. They brought this stone from Eretz Yisrael. Im hisne b'masa b'reishis. Now why? So Rashi says something here very interesting which generated an enormous amount of discussion. Im hisne b'masa b'reishis al hay Hashem, when He created the world, He made a Tanai. He made a condition with the Berea. Part of the conditions was that He told the Yam, the sea, that when the time comes, you will have to split, you will have to do something supernatural. Split for Bnei Yisrael. He told the fire, I'm creating fire, but there's a condition. There's going to come a time when they're going to be three tzaddikim, Hananiah, Mishael, V'Azariah, they're going to turn into the furnace. You're going to have to cool off. I'm making condition with the lions. I'm creating the lions. And that you, when there come a time when you're not going to be allowed to eat the meal. Okay, very good. But although these conditions were set into motion at the time of creation, Lehisne al Zrikas, Evan, Vizayin, Shloyazik, Ba'adam. Man has bechira. Man has free will. Hashem never, from the moment of creation, told man that it will come a point in time when I'm not going to allow you to exercise your free will. Now you will ask me, what about Paro? Vayichabed Hashem et slave Paro. Excellent question. We'll have to leave that for another time so that it's dealt with. That he. Okay, let's leave that for now. That's a discussion of itself, but let's put that aside. But basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I'm not going to deny any person free will. Therefore, although it will come a time when he'll be thrown into a den of lions, and the lions will not be able to harm him, but all of the wicked people of that generation, especially these 120 officers who were extremely jealous of Delilah, wanted to see his death and came up with this grand scheme to bring about his death by being thrown into the den of lions, they will still have free will to kill him, to murder him. And when they see that the lions are not devouring Daniel, they will come in the middle of the night and throw stones, throw explosives, who knows what they'll do to make sure that Daniel is put to death. And there is nothing in creation that can stop this from happening. Therefore, Daniel needed protection. The Malachim came, and they brought this massive stone, which completely closed and sealed the opening to the den, which prevented any one individual from entering this area where Daniel was during the evening, and it was sealed with the signet ring of the king and the officers, and that protected Daniel from man, from the 120 officers. Daniel did not need protection from the lions because the lions already were warned, were already told and agreed that they would not harm Daniel. But such a condition cannot prevent human beings from causing another human being, one human being from causing another human being harm. The Amelech Omar, the king said, Me'im ho'aroyos i'efshu l'salkoi, there's nothing I can possibly do to prevent an eel from coming in contact with the lions, shekvar nigzra gezera, but at least as daher lo mehazokas odom, the king, Daryavesh, who loved an eel, wanted at least to protect him from these evil people who would harm him. And therefore, and if the miracle will come, it'll be safe the lions, so be it. But at least, he would not be harmed by, I don't know what those three letters stand for, Samach Aleph. What do you have in your Svarim Achayim Einam, another Svarim does not exist. This okay. So this is what appears in this Rashi. So let's do the next Rashi. V'samto al pim guva, he put this on the stone on the opening of the guv, the den. Chusma al piaguma be'askosei betabate. Be'askosei means, it's an Aramaic word, means a signet ring. Shelo yazizuhu mimukamav yashlichu olav avanim lahargov. They should not go and remove it and throw stones, like a small stones that were imported to kill Daniel. Deloitte, why was this done? Why was it sealed with the signet ring of the king and the officers? Dilo sishnei tzeva b'Daniel. Shelo yishtane ritzoyne kolayma shelo yasli hezek. That the will should not change, he should not be harmed. Shelo kiritzono, against his will. Now this is subject of much discussion. The primary discussion appears in the parish of Yosef, when Yosef was thrown into the bar. There's a lot of similarities between Yosef being thrown into the bar that was 20 amos deep and was the habar reik ein boi mayim. There is a double negative, reik and ein, empty and not. So Chazal darshin ma'ein niyot achar niyot ela l'rabois. Mayim ein boi. Avol nechoshim v'akravim yeshbo. There are snakes and scorpions were in the pit, and al piderech hateva, Yosef should have died, should have been bitten by the snakes and scorpions when he fell upon them when he was thrown into this pit 20 amos deep. But a miracle happened; he was not harmed. There's an Orach Chaim on that pasuk, and it's discussed at great length by a lot of the mefarshim, some mishem achrayim. Is it possible for a person to be harmed if it's not meant to be? It's not bashert for a person to be harmed. So one thing, we have a tradition: he will not be harmed by animals. Just like if it's not meant to be, we have this understanding, this is the tradition, that a person will not, if it's not meant to be, it's not his mazel, he will not be harmed. He will not suffer loss and pain and suffering if it's not meant to be. Now, that's certainly true when it comes to harm, let's say natural harm, from a storm or from a hurricane, flood, natural events. What about animals? Do animals have the ability to bring suffering to a person that was not meant to be due to his mazel? Whatever, these are very vague, abstract terms. So the answer is no. But what about a human being? A human being can kill a person, has bechira chafshis, it's built into nature, that man has the power to bring, that's what the Or HaChaim says, to bring harm upon a person, even though according to his mazel, according to what's bashert for him, it's not meant for him to die now. According to, again, a person will not, every person that's punished, the dies only because there's chait. But just because a person has sinned, doesn't mean that his time, he has to suffer now. Person has sinned, so there'll be a din v'cheshvan, achamei v'eshem. There'll come a time when he'll give din v'cheshvan for his averos. But every avero does not warrant, does not trigger an immediate punishment at this moment in time. So if a person happens to be punished prematurely, so then his plate is clean. Every person that does suffer, there's justification for the suffering. But just because there's justification for the suffering, it doesn't mean it has to come at any given moment in time. So here is the dilemma. Person, it's meant to live for 120 years. It's meant to live until it's 97 years old. And now he comes into contact with an animal, the wild bear. If it's not meant for him to die, he's not going to die. The bear is not going to have the power to kill him. This is what the Or HaChaim says. Now, of course, a person wants to commit suicide and go to the zoo and jump in, that's a different story. He was talking about a person that's living a regular life. He's not putting himself in a makom sakana for no reason whatsoever, and it's not meant for it to happen. And then something unexpected happens. Something unexpected can happen, not due to the fault of a person, is the subject in and of itself. And then he's there face to face with a bear, with a lion. The lion does not have shlita to harm the person if it's not meant to be at this moment in time. Because his mazel was, he should live until he's 97 years old, not to die now. And the lion, somehow Hashem will not allow us to happen. But a human being is much worse. A person comes in contact with another human being, and he has the same mazel to live until he's 97 years old, and the other human being says, you know what, I just don't like you. I just don't like you, I'm going to kill you. And he takes out a weapon, or he does something unusual, and he murders his victim. So what happened? The lion did not have shlita, did not have control to do this. Animals did not have power, and certainly nature doesn't have power. Nature is even weaker. But even living creatures don't have shlita to bring harm to a person if it's not meant to be at this point in time. But yet a human being who is a Baal Bechira does have power to bring harm to a person, even though it's not meant for him to suffer at this moment in time. But if he does suffer, then you can't say he's innocent. Every person that suffers, there's justification. It wasn't meant to be to suffer now. It should have happened many years later. He should have had the opportunity to tshuva and so on and so forth. Where do you see that? You see that clearly from this pasuk here. You see that here from this pasuk here, where the lions, Daniel is being thrown to the lions. It's not meant that Daniel should come, his day should come to an end here with the lions. But that does not protect Daniel from harm that will come from human beings. From all of these officers, these 120 officers that have a very deep hatred for Daniel. Therefore, it was necessary for the Malachim to perform a miracle and bring a massive stone from Eretz Yisrael to seal up this opening to the den to protect the Nile from harm that can come from man. But inside of the den of lions, nothing will happen to the Nile. That he is okay. You see, the farther saying when it comes to that, so that's what the Mepharshim say. The more of Medrash is hard for us to understand by Yosef. Did the brothers know that in the pit were scorpions and snakes? This is a debated issue. Some will learn, no, they did not know. It was more than 20 amos deep. Just like, I can't put a Ner Chanukah higher than 20 amos because you can't see it. There's no persumenisa. Just like a mavo, you're not allowed to put a koira more than 20 amos. It's ineffective because you can't see the koira to prevent you from walking out into the street. So it was 20 amos deep. They were unable to see that there were snakes and scorpions. Had they known that there were snakes and scorpions, it would have been tantamount to murder, throwing him into the pit. And at this point in time, they were not willing to murder him outright, cold blood. So how then can it be that they threw him? So some Mepharshim say they did not know there were snakes and scorpions. Other Mepharshim say no, they did know that there were snakes and scorpions, and they didn't care. They figured they knew this Chazal, I mean, it has to be calibrated based upon different other factors of their righteousness and their times. The snakes and scorpions are animals, they're not human beings, have no power to bring death to a human being if it's not yet his time. The brothers, they're human beings. If they choose to kill him, they will succeed in bringing an end to Yosef, even though it may not be Yosef's time, because a human being is a Baal Bechira, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has built into creation the ability for one human being to bring harm upon another human being, even though it's not yet his time. But an animal, a creature, and nature does not have this power unless it was meant to be from his mazel, from the time that he was born. Yeah.
It's sort of theoretical, right?
Yes.
The whole concept of what is meant to be, we don't know.
Exactly, 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 exactly. It's for us, it's theoretical.
Right.
But when you're dealing with people, part of the Tanakh, dealing with very hard madrigals, so this is a very powerful Rashi. When Rashi began to review this, a very powerful concept. Dar Yovesh, he understands this concept. you're being thrown into a den of lions. Lions are not human beings. You're a loyal servant of Hashem. You daven to Hashem. Hashem, it's not meant to be. It's not going to happen. The lion's not going to harm you. But these Meshugayim over here, these Vildechayis, the real Vildechayis, his officers, Soinei Yisrael, Risham, they will be able to put an end to your life even though it's not meant to be. And therefore, where you need protection from is from the human beings and not necessarily from the lions. And that's why it was necessary for there to be this incredible miracle of the stone being brought all the way to this location. Now, by the way, okay, let me just tell you one point. Can you just pass me the sitter, please? Okay, thank you. Now, we say in Slichos, at the end of Slichos, Misha'on Lidoniel, the goal of Harayos, Hu Ya'aneinu. Here, the meal is thrown into the den, and it's sealed, right? It's sealed, the stone is there, and there are two seals, the seal of the king, the seal of the officers. Daniel's in a lot of trouble. Let's not take this lightly. By the way, how many lions were there? So we'll see at the very end. At the very end, when Daniel was speared, then the king threw in all of the officers, so they were conflicting midrashim. Some learned that there were 360 lions. And some learned there was, I think, 1,466, whole cheshbon, how many lions there were. 1,466 hungry lions. It's a big zoo. Let's not take this lightly. It was a very great sakana. It's a very great. So what did Daniel do? Daniel said to Hillel. Now, Daniel said to Hillel. Now, Daniel came, obviously, long after David HaMelech. Okay, David HaMelech existed before the building of the first Beis HaMikdash, before Shlomo HaMelech. So here we're dealing with the Chorban. We're dealing here with the Chorban of the Bayis Rishon, which was 410 years, plus a number of years before David, before he was built. So I don't know, but let's assume it's about somewhere 450 years, probably somewhere that maybe close to 500 years, whatever the numbers are. About 500 years, 475 years early, David HaMelech, HaPiruch HaKodesh, composed Tehillim. Many of the chapters, the Mizmor and Tehillim, were set for certain events. So the Mefarshim tell us that David HaMelech composed the Mizmor that Daniel would need to say, or what Daniel would say in Mizmor Samach Dalit. I can't believe there's no Tehillim here. Can't be. This is the old art scroll, right? This is before. They didn't put Tehillim in yet. There's no Tehillim here. Is that really true? Okay, so we're going to get on the regular sitter. Okay, here's the sitter. So I'm just all wired up. I have to take the wires with me wherever I go. Okay, I got. You can look at it. Take it for yourself. Mizmor Sasa. Next time you, those who are the Tehillim zuggers, you probably know this already, if you're a Tehillim Zogger, but Mizmor Samach Dalet, it's interesting to take a look at the Mizmor. Lamatzech Mizmor L'David, Shema Elokim Koili Visichi. Listen to my voice, my speech. Mipachad Oyev Titzor Chayar, from the pachad of the enemy, may you spare my life. May you save me from the sword, from the council of the Mirayim, the evildoers. This refers to the 120 officers who were extremely jealous of Daniel and plotted this sword, this great secret amongst themselves, how they're going to convince Daryovich to execute Daniel by this elaborate plot that we discussed last week, where no one's allowed to pray or make a request of a god or of another human being for 30 days in order to strengthen the malchus of Daryovish. Margishas Poyleovin, those that come close to perform sin, Asher Shanu Kachev L'Shem, their tongues are sharp like a sword. Dorchu Chitzam Dovamar, they bend their arrow to do something bitter. Liros b'mastarim tom, to go and to throw in secret the innocent one. Pisom, suddenly, yoruhu v'lo yirohu, they threw him down, they were not afraid. The Mizmor goes on, I'm not going to go through the psukim, but if you go to the Mizmor, it's very interesting how you see that this refers to Daniel, how the whole essence of the Mizmor is all of these wicked people have plotted and schemed in secret against me. And they presented this seemingly innocent plan to the king, and the king signed off, and they succeeded, and here I am, I'm in a state of terror, I'm in a state of tzara. And he concludes, Yismach Tzadik B'Hashem V'chosulam, the Tzadik rejoiced in Hashem, may he seek refuge in Hashem, V'yisalu kol Yishre Levi, may they rejoice, all those upright of heart, referring to himself, that he ultimately succeeded. Just keep in mind, Samach Dalet is the Mizmor that Daniel recited when he was here in the Den of Lions, and David HaMelech, almost 500 years ago, Peruch HaKodesh, saw what was going to happen and compose this. That is what it says in the Medrash. Okay, Pasuk Yutes. Edayin then. Azal Malko, the king went, Lehichla. So the king was obviously very disturbed. The king tried his best the entire day. There was a court case the entire day. We learned last week where the king, Dayavish, was desperately trying to convince the officers not to carry out the sentence. And then Daniel did himself in at the end of the day when he said, the sun is setting, please excuse me, I have to daven mincha. And he daven mincha in front of everyone. And that sealed his fate. And then the king said, we learned last week in the Medrash, the king said, I don't care. I want to pardon him. It's good, he's a sinner. He did this even, he had the chutzpah to daven mincha right in front of us all here in court. I don't care, I want to pardon him. And they said to him, if you pardon him, we will remove you from your office. They threatened to rebel and to start a coup, to start a rebellion and to just depose the king. So he had no choice. He was taken out to the Den of Lions, he was thrown in, he was still with the stone. And then the king went home. What could he possibly do now? Adayin then azal malko lehichle to his palace. Uvas. Vas means he went to sleep. Tivas. What does tivas mean? There are many interpretations. Let's see Rashi. Uvas tivas. Vas means long. He went to sleep. Tivas betainis. He didn't eat. No dinner. They brought, you can imagine, dinner in the palace is not exactly kosher delight. This is a serious business. State dinner. There was no, the state dinner was cancelled. All the guests went home. He was so disturbed he did not eat. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is tavos. Okay, I don't have it here, but it means anger. Okay, it's another expression. Let's look at the mitzudos. Let's see the mitzudos. It says it. Edayin then. Acha shechasma halach hamelech el hechalo v'lon b'lo yachilo. Okay, no achila, and that's all it says here. Let's see over here the mitzvah sion of lom mevlei sudat se'erev v'chein rechazal uvas tavas v'lo yhivdil. Ratzulema loy ochal b'layla ad shlehivdil means in the Gemara as well. In the Mabasachim, the word tavas means without eating. Another interpretation is tavas of in anger, not in fasting, but he went to sleep in a state of fury. There's a word targum where it's not with a vav but with a yud, tayas. Okay, I don't have remember the exact word, but there's another similar word tes yud sof, which means fury. The king went to sleep in a state of anger. He was outsmarted by his officers, his governors, the 120 governors who convinced him. He now got it. The king got it. He saw what they did. They succeeded. V'dachavon lo hanhel kodomohi. They did not bring the dachavon. Now, what does that mean? There are three interpretations. One interpretation, Rashi says, is shulchan. It's a continuation. He went to sleep without fasting. So when they eat, they would bring small tables. Like we learned in the Gemara Masechta Pesachim, you sit down, you recline, and small little tables were brought before you when you reclined on your couch. So v'dachavan, the table, lo hanel kodomo, he was not presented before Daryavish. A continuation of uvos tvos, explaining. He fasted, and they did not bring the night table to dine. Another interpretation is, this is an interesting idea, you take the two first letters of the word v'dachavon and you interchange them. And then it becomes chadvon. Okay, that's a technique. A lot of times in Aramaic, and even in Hebrew, sometimes, very rarely, letters, words are interpreted by interchanging, changing the order of the letters. So here we exchange the ches and the dal, which means chedva. What does chedva mean? Oiz v'chedva, it means joy. So chadvan lo hanel kodamohi, they did not bring the musical instruments. Normally the king goes to sleep, they sing a lullaby, rockabye baby, in order to put him to sleep. There was no...
After dinner.
There were no musical instruments that would normally bring joy, that would blow before the king to put him to sleep. A third interpretation I saw, this in the art scroll. The art scroll is fantastic. You have to read it very carefully. There's a lot of fascinating insights in the art scroll of Daniel. It means pilakshem. Pilakshem. They did not bring that every night the king...
Concubines.
Every night the king had another concubine, like Achashverosh. Every single night he had another woman was brought to him. So that night he did not have any women, concubines presented to him because he was agitated that his dear friend Daniel was about to be killed and he was outsmarted by all of his people. So v'dachavon lo hanel kodomohi, v'shinte nadas alohi, and his sleep nadas. Nadas means it flew away. It flew. It's a very interesting study. What exactly is sleep? I'm sure there are many scientific studies to define what exactly is sleep, but you study the words where Chazal refers to sleep, nadas, it flew away. Sleep is something which comes to you. We think that sleep is, you just can't get out. And immediately you're asleep. Right. So no, we think that sleep is, you're just tired and you can't get out. It appears from Tanakh that sleep, it's a spirit that comes to you and puts you to sleep. You can bring it upon yourself. You close your eyes, you're tired. Mainly you fall asleep. Essentially, you fall asleep. It's something which comes to you. So when you're not sleeping, this ruach of sleep, it goes away. Nadas. Okay, what that means exactly, I don't know. But it's an interesting term. The way sleep is defined in Chazal, in the Tanakh, is very interesting. It requires much more study. Much more study, nadas. The sleep, it flew away. It went away. It didn't come to him that night. Alohi. Beidayin then. Malka the king. Bishparporoth. Bishparporoth is an unusual word which means Aloysa Shachar, dawn. Yukum, he rose up, binoga. Binoga means, sometimes noga means light, and sometimes it means darkness. In our context, it means the transition between darkness and light, twilight, dawn. So there's really some repetition. He, bishaf, pasachof. Bish, paraparo, yukum, binoga. At dawn, he awoke at the very first moment when the ray of dawn, over his Behala, and in a state of haste and confusion, Ligubadi Aryavasa Azal, he ran to the den of lions. He ran to see maybe he's still alive. Who knows? Maybe he survived. So right away, because the decree was, I mean, it's not exactly clear how long the decree was, how long he had to remain there. Maybe a miracle happened. If a miracle happened, he remained alive. Was a part of the law that he would be removed? Doesn't say anywhere. But in any event, one thing, when the first crack of dawn, the king, he ran to the den of lions to see what happened to Daniel, if he's still alive. Now, I don't know if you have mine, I don't have this, but the word Bish Parpara, do you have it? Oh, you have a small pay and a big pay. Okay, in my version, I don't have that. Let me just open up, just to make sure I get it right. Okay, Pasikov. You have over here, it's very, very unusual, very unusual. You have in one word two strange letters, a small pay and a large pay. So what is the significance? So there's a Mincha Shai. Mincha Shai generally is, it's not really a medrash. Mincha Shai normally is telling us when the letters are small and large, the different vowels. to how do you pronounce things. He, I think, even says that Dar Yovesh, it should not be pronounced Dor Yovesh, as it says in our text with the Komatz. Dar should be pronounced with the Patach. Dar Yovesh. But the Mincha Shai generally is very, is into the vowels. But here he says a Drush. Why is there a small pay and a large pay? Because it's alluding to what's going to happen now. He comes there to the den of lions and he sees that Daniel is alive. Miraculously, he has survived. And as we're going to see the Psukim, as we go to the Psukim, he's going to have him removed, taken out of the den of lions, and he's then going to throw into the den of lions these 120 officers, plus the two other ministers who are on top, their wives, another 122, and their children, at least one child. So for a grand total of 363, right? 366, because 2, 2, 2, each one, they're going to be the two ministers as well. So 366, at least 366 people are going to be punished, because it was 122, plus their wives, plus the children. 122, because 120, plus the two ministers. The two ministers on top. That's what it says in the Medrash. So the grand total of 366 people going to be punished because of this. Now, that wasn't so simple. How was he able to pull this off? These same 120 people were threatening, if you don't follow out and throw Daniel into the den of lions, we're going to have you deposed. We're going to remove you from office. So it appears that now when the miracle happened, everyone, so Daniel survived, the public opinion changed. It's like, you know, the elections. So what is the problem? What is the trend? Where are people trending to? So there were things that the king would risk, the king would do certain things, are very bold. There are a lot of debates, study American history, constitutional, all the different laws. Can a king go to war without the approval of Congress? Okay, let's say you do need approval of Congress. Okay, can you do, there are certain things, there are certain vague areas that you can do things. It would be ideal to get permission from Congress, but b'di'eved, if you do it, you can get away with it, as long as they don't give you a hard time. They give you a hard time, they can impeach you, they can say that what you've done is criminal, it's shalei kedin, and so on and so forth. It's exactly what's going on over here. Daniel, all the 120 ministers, officers, governors said, we want this guy dead. They didn't say it outright. It's not going to go off well in a civilized country to go and to kill a person in cold blood. The king said, I don't want this to happen. The king's mouth was closed. He had a small pay. That's the first pay. When it came to save Daniel, if the king really wanted, he could have stood up to the 120 officers and said, no, I want to pardon him. I know the law says he has to be killed. I know what it says in the books. I know the law is dos paras modai velo yavar. I don't care. He could have done it. He was afraid. They threatened him. If you go and you'll try this, we'll impeach you. We'll get rid of you. His mouth was closed. Small peh means peh. He had a small peh. But now, public opinion changed. The next morning, can you imagine just 12 hours? 12 hours, you can go from Mikotze La Kotze, the swing. They saw the miracle. Daniel survived. At least 360 lions were there. At least. Some said 1,466 lions. Nothing happened to Daniel. Public opinion changed. Now, Daryovish was empowered. He had a big peh, a large mouth, and he said, all of you, I give a command to the military to throw all the 120 officers into the pit, let the lions eat them up. So that's why there's a small pay and a large pay. He started out, when he came to save Daniel, we're criticizing him. He only had a small pay. He was unwilling to. He tried to defend him. It's a mixed bag. You know, he tried the whole day to save him. He really did try. But he was not able to go that last extra step and risk his life to save Daniel. But now when the miracle happened, he had a big pay, a large pay. He gave the order to have all of the officers executed. And they indeed were executed. So that's why we have here this unusual expression, this unusual small pay and large pay. It's very unusual. How often do you have in one word? I don't know. I mean, I'm not a bucky in these things at all, but it's something to keep in mind. extremely rare in one word in the whole Torah. How many letters are there in the whole Torah that are large and small? In our tradition, I think it's 19 letters. Or 18, in that range, 18. How many? Like the first base, Bereishis, the Vayikra, the small Aleph, the Hibarim, the small Hey. How many Oisios Meshunos, large and small? So I believe there are, I think 17 or 19 in that range.
One letter in each word.
Yeah, that for sure. Here it's two. Okay, you go through Tanakh. I'm sure you'll find a lot here and there. I don't know about Tanakh. Right? That's in the Megillah. I'm talking about Chumash. In Chumash alone, Chamisha Chumash Torah, they're less than 20. I know that less than 20. In our tradition, because if you go open up, Torah Shlema, one of his volumes he has, I mean, you look in the Midrashim, you come maybe even 100. But it's not done today. Various Midrashim, there are a lot of Oysios Mishunas, a lot of strange tagim and strange letters. It's brought down in various Midrashim, but it's not our custom today. Today a Sefer, when they write today, everything has been standardized. And the standard is, there's less than 20 letters which are acceptable to write the different shapes and sizes, even though if you'll study the Midrashim, you'll find, like, it's like, Ashrecha Yishol Micha Meicha, on Simchas Torah. I think the last pasuk before you begin Vayal Moshe, in the Chasim Torah, Ashrecha Yishol Micha Meicha. The Medrash says that the Aleph of Ashrecha is a large Aleph. In no Sefer Torah today is there a large Aleph. Okay, Ashrecha means you're happy, not rich. Oisha with an ayin means you're rich. Aleph means happy. Ashrecha Yisrael, don't make a mistake. Don't think Klal Yisrael is a wealthy nation now. But it's not. But here it's very unique to have such thing, and that is how the Mishnah explains this pasuk. So therefore, let's go further. So he told him he wanted just finish a little more. He gave this command that he should be. He went to see what is doing with the Neil. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. As he came close to the Luguba, into the den, Lidaniel, Bekol Atziv Zigzik, means he cried out, Atziv is sad. He did not expect him to be alive. What are the chances? 360 lions, what are the chances? So he called out in a sad voice. Ane Malka, the king raised his voice, and he said, Lidaniel, Daniel, Aved Eloko Chaya, the servant of the living God. Very beautiful expression. He right away gave praise. We'll see very soon that Daryavesh was a melech kosher. He gets a lot of praise, Daryavesh, as being a good man. Elokoch Haya, the servant of the living God. Elokoch, your God, the Ant, Polachle Bisdira, who you serve continuously, without any hefsek. Hechil L'shei Zavusoch Min Ar Yavosah. Was he able to save you? Hechil means able. L'shei Zavusoch, to save you, Min Ar Yavosah, from the lion. So simply means asking a question. Are you still alive? Was your Ribbono Shel Olam, your creator, was he able to save you from the lions? Edayin then, Pasuk Habayis, Daniel in Malka Malil, he began to speak. Malka Olmin Chayi, King, long live the King. So he was alive. Now, first of all, Mefarshim take note of something very, very interesting, that Daniel, we have already Paragvav, these are hard parakim. Daniel already had long conversations with Nebuchadnezzar and with Belshazzar, who Chazal considered to be the epitome of evil. Nebuchadnezzar, the guy is the marshal of Gaiva. Adam El Elyon. There's none of the Ishei HaTanach come to. He is the marshal from the Ishei HaTanach of the spitz of Gaiva. Adam El Elyon. Belshazzar also, to a certain degree, had that Gaiva. He took out the Kalim of the Beis Hamikdash. He had the chutzpah to take out chutzpah. The Belshazzar is the epitome of chutzpah, to celebrate the destruction of Klal Yisrael and to take out the Kalim of the Beis Hamikdash and drink from them. He set a precedent for Achashverosh. The ones who do it first are the worst. Amalek, the ones who set a precedent, they are the worst. So he was from the biggest mechutzafim, Belshazzar. And Daniel had long conversations with them. Nowhere do we find the Nil ever giving him the honor of saying Malko le'olmin chayi? The only ones who give him this cover are the magicians, are the astrologers, are the wise men. This expression, although it appears many times in Sefer Daniel, only appears when it's spoken to by the queen and by the officers. But Daniel was not a mechonif. He was not a politician. He did not flatter and give praise, and give brachos to people that are not deserving of the praise. He never gave a bracha to Nebuchadnezzar, long live the king, the king shall live forever. He did say to the king, may the dream come upon your enemies. The harsh dream of turning into an animal, may it come upon your enemies. He did say to him that I have a solution, you should give tzedakah. If you give tzedakah, maybe you'll be spared. But to go so far and say to him, long live the king, may the king live forever, that he did not do. Because he was not a flatterer. He was a man of integrity. And the king doesn't deserve Nebuchadnezzar, and Moshe do not deserve brachos, you don't go give brachos. And Chazal give Daniel high praise for this. Daryavesh was a good man. He was a good man. He had a neat sense of kedusha. We're going to see now. He had sparks of holiness in him, and therefore he was deserving of the bracha, an incredible bracha for Daniel to say to him. All the stories about the Chofetz Chaim, people that he gave brachas to, like innocent brachas. There are a lot of people that live very long lives, lived to 100 years old, and there are a lot of stories that the Chofetz Chaim gave him a bracha, they should live a long life. Like there was a story once where the Chofetz Chaim came to a shul, he came somewhere, he was an old man, and he wanted to wash his hands for mincha. He wanted, as the halacha, he's supposed to wash your hands, and there was no water. So there's a little boy, saw the Chofetz Chaim needed some water, so he went out to the well, and he brought the Chofetz Chaim water to wash his hands. So the Chofetz Chaim, he's a little boy, like 5 years or whatever, and he gave him a little tap on his face and says, he said in Yiddish, I don't know the Yiddish, he said, you shall live long. Thank you, man, you shall live long. Taka, and he lived 100 years old. A lot of these type of stories. The Daniel is giving a bracha to the king, may you live forever. This is not a simple matter for Daniel to Daniel. Someone who's very machmer on his dibur, the kaycha dibur.
Still say, long live the king. I wonder if it comes from him.
Well, we have it in the beginning of Daniel. We have it there with the officers. Yeah, it definitely does, for sure. But we don't have it by Daniel saying. We have this by the officers saying this to the king. Malka le'omechke. We have to stop here. Let me tell you one other thing before we conclude. Why Daniel, the Medrash says something very, very strange. I was a little bit shocked when I saw this. Daniel did not answer the king right away. The king comes there early in the morning, Alois Tashach, and he's crying out to Daniel. There's a lot of parallels between stories in Tanakh, in Torah, and Daniel didn't answer right away. Why not? He was in the middle of Kriya Shema. Just like Yosef, we have the same parallel when Yosef met his father Yaakov after 22 years. They fell, he cried on his neck, but Yaakov did not respond. Why? He was saying Kriya Shema. Oh, now you're saying Kriya Shema, no better time to say Kriya Shema. It's okay, that's not for now. There's so many. There are books and encyclopedias to give you all the different perushim of why he was saying Kriya Shema at a precise that moment. But here's also very interesting. The king is calling out, Daniel, are you alive? Was your God able to save you? And he's in the middle of saying Kriya Shema. He's not looking at it, and he's not, mafsik for the king. That I found to be very interesting. Okay, other thing I wanted to say, I don't remember, so we'll have to leave it for. One other short thing is that why did he ask the question? It appears there's a pigima in the emuna of Daryavish. Daryavish was a very holy person, and he gave him a bracha. He told him, "Listen, I have no choice. I'm going to throw you into the den of lions, but your God, may He save you. You worship Him, Bistira." Daryavish was a very big maimon. He was a non-Jew. He was a non-Jew, but he had very great asagas. If anyone has an opportunity, by the way, Derech Agav, is that they had Ami magazine in the Yom Tov edition. They still have it. The Yom Tov edition, Sukkot, they have this fascinating article about a Pakistinian immigrant who knows everything there is to know about Hasidus. And he, the way the article appears, he would be Megayer, but he's married, and it would wreak havoc on his marriage, so he can't be Megayer. But it's amazing how the insights he has into Yadus, into Hasidus, into all of the, and he's like, he's known by all of the rabbis, and he's a goy. He's mamash a goy. He comes to all the tishim, he has all the lavush, and he knows, and he's mechazek other Jews, and he speaks Yiddish.
Know a lot about Judaism.
Exactly, and he's a very intelligent person, very intelligent person, and like you see this concept of goyim. And he talks about what the role of a goy is. Shavnis Menoach, the role of a goy, of goyim who have sparks of kedusha, and they understand their role. Michal Miller, you relate to this. You go to those conventions. There is some type of, and then you see that idea. You see it here very much in Daryovich. Daryovich was a very unusual non-Jew. Go study the Ishaya Tanakh, talk about non-Jews and their relationships to the Jews. You have Rebbe and Antoninos. Okay, that's much later on. Rebbe, but that's not part of Tanakh. That's not from Ishaya Tanakh. That's part of the Talmudic literature. And but then, ultimately, Antoninos was Megayer. He was Megayer. He was a guy, and Rebbe was a Chavrusa, taught him Torah. But here in Tanakh, you have Daryovish. Daryovish had sparks of holiness, and the Medrash says that they criticized him. Why didn't he go all the way and have full faith that Daniel would survive? And the Medrash says because Daryovish said, when it came to Hananiah, Mishael v'Azariah, who were thrown into a furnace, there were three of them. The koyach of a group of numbers is much more powerful than the individual. When three tzaddikim were thrown into the furnace together, the group of three, that I fully have faith can save a person from harm. But Daniel, no matter how great you are, you're only one person. And one person's limited in how far he can go in doing supernatural and surviving supernatural harm. Therefore, he wasn't fully convinced that he would have been spared. But it's an incredible revelation that a guy has that power of Kedusha is in the numbers, more so than just as the individual. Because Daryovish knew the history not that long ago. Hananiah, Mishael v'Azariah. Okay, how many years ago was it? Was it 20 years ago, 50 years ago? He knew the history. They were thrown into the furnace and they were spared. But you were all there with three, you were only one. Let me read what it says over here. Here's the Medrash says. The Medrash says, the Medrash is Bereishis Shabbosi. The Medrash says, when they throw me to the bar, Elokach, who yishay zvinach, may your God save you. What's going on? There, in the beginning, when he was thrown in, he made a statement. May your God save you. And here he's asking a question. Amalo. Was he able to save you? What happened? El Amar Daryovish, Hananiah, Mishael v'Azariah, Nitzal, Fishayu, Shelo. They were three. Ish, Esrayu, Yemechazak. Mechazik, you know that pasuk is about Avodah Zarah, but we use it for Gedolim Shavudish also. L'Shloisha Aval Atal La'Atzmecha. You're only one person. Toimar. Did Hashem find for you a schus? And then indeed, Pasuk of Gimli goes on to say, yes, Hashem found for me a schus, and therefore I survived. Okay, we'll stop here.